Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Ticket Portal Orientation Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Wednesday, August 5th, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Janet Cousins. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the August 5th Ticket Portal Orientation Session. Now, before we get started with our presentation today, we realize that the announcement that went out in regards to this session did not include the link to the online presentation and the chat room. So what I'd like to do is give you an opportunity to make a note and access that link so that you can follow along with us on the presentation. So in order to get to our website, you would type in gatherplace.com, and once you're on that page, go ahead and click on Join a Meeting. When you choose the Join a Meeting, the access code that you'll have to enter is a 7-digit numeric code, and that code is 782-1333. So I'll repeat that once more for those of you that may have needed to grab a pen or something, pull up your browser on your computer. Again, if you can go to gatherplacealtogether.com, find the link to join a meeting, and then go ahead and enter the access code, which is 782-1333. Now, we will have a Q&A session at the end of the call. And, Shay, if you could just give a quick announcement to inform folks how to ask a question. And for anyone who still needs the link or is not able to get in, maybe we'll open up the calls for just a couple of minutes before we get started and make sure everyone has that opportunity. Shay?
Again, to ask a question, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1 to ask a question.
Okay, we're starting to see some folks in the chat, so that's good news. Glad you're able to get in and join us online. Again, the information is gatherplace.com. Click on Join a Meeting. The access code you'll use is 782-1333. Anyone calling in with questions, Shay?
There are no audio questions at this time.
Okay, great. Well, good news. All right. Okay, well, let's get started then. During this orientation session, there's several things that we're going to share with you today. We'll discuss how to access and use the secure training and resources site. We'll discuss training opportunities. And we'll review the Ticket Portal main menu and the various functionality that's available to you. And then, as mentioned, we'll have some time at the end of the call for a Q&A. You certainly can ask questions along the way during the chat room if you would like. Okay, so the Secure Training and Resources site was created to ensure that the highest level of security for you and the beneficiaries you serve. You can only access this site by using the link shown on this slide. If you can, go ahead and log into the site at this time so you can follow along with us as we quickly go through the various components of the site. Okay, so the first screen that you'll see once you do log in, this screen will show up when you sign into the training and resources site. It does give general information about the requirements you had to meet to access the page. Our second site, our second screen is the training resources page. And this is where you can access the ticket portal orientation self-paced module. And you can access the ticket portal user guide that you will often hear us refer to. Here you'll also find the login instructions for the ticket portal. The third screen you'll see is the Helping Others page. And this page contains presentations and videos that detail how to sign up for a MyFSA account, and it also includes information on suitability. Now, you can go to this page when one of your colleagues have questions about how they can begin their transition to the new portal. This page contains the same information that can be found on the public yourtickettowork.com site. And lastly, our fourth screen available to you is the Contact Us page. This page you'll use when you need to find out who to contact for a specific issue that you're having. The Operations Support Manager and Social Security want you to thoroughly understand the new ticket portal and how to complete transactions in it. Your first training opportunity is the self-paced module that was created to offer a simulated experience of working in the ticket portal. Now, this module allows you to go through the transactions as if you were really completing them online. It's highly recommended that you work your way through the self-paced module as time allows to create a comfort level with performing queries and transactions in the portal. And once you've logged into the ticket portal, which, by the way, looks the same as the page you use to log into your MyFSA account, and choose a designation for which organization you're doing business for, you can view the main menu. The main menu contains five headings. The first is the assignment list, then payments, assign and unassign beneficiaries, case notes, and about your EN or SVR. So to talk more about the ticket portal and what you can do in it, let me turn the call over to Katie Strivinger with Social Security Administration.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to give you a little overview of how ticket assignments and assignability work in the portal. The way the portal is designed is that your beneficiaries, either current or past, are accessible through one of two lists on the main menu. As you see here on the left, there's a list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me. So all of those tickets appearing on the screen are currently assigned to your EN or SVR. And there's another screen on the right, formerly assigned to me. Any ticket that has been previously assigned to your EN or SVR is available through that screen. From both of those lists, if you have more than 100 records, and in most cases most people do, you do have to use the search criteria there on the screen to select records. You may go into that link and have nothing appear, and that is because you have to use the criteria there on the screen to populate the screen with records. Next slide, please. And I just want to point you back to the user guide. This information is in the user guide that you can access from the training and resources site. This is a great resource for everything. And anything I might have said that you didn't hear or want clarification on, everything is explained in the user guide. I want to go over ticket assignability and how to send an assignment and unassignment file to SSA and how to check the status of files sent to SSA and the download results if available. Next slide, please. And here are the links, if you see in the middle of the screen. There is the option under assigned and unassigned beneficiaries to check assignability by SSN and check status of files sent to SSA and download the results if available. The first step in assigning a ticket is to click on that first link there, check assignability by SSN. That is the first step in assigning a ticket. This page lets you check the assignability of a single Social Security number. So from this screen, you're going to type in the SSN and click search. Next screen, please. This will give you information based on the SSN. You will see things like when the ticket was mailed, if the ticket is terminated, the ticket status. And to make it clear right now, the ticket status, whether in use or not in use, has to do with the beneficiary's CDR protection. If the beneficiary is currently assigned but has failed TPR, the ticket will stay not in use there for the ticket status. You can see if there have been any ticket payments on that ticket and get an idea of the earnings in the last 24 months that we have on record. Next slide, please. And this is the second section of the screen. We have it split into two slides. You can see there there's the assignment information. From there, you can see any ticket assignments on the record. As you can see in the case here, this ticket was assigned previously, and it is currently assignable because you can see there in the middle, and VRs will see both of these buttons. You see the button open a VR case or assign a ticket. That lets you know that that ticket is assignable. It is a visual cue. You don't have to really read through the information on the screen. If you want to know it's assignable, you just need to check for that button. ENs will only see the option to assign a ticket. Next slide, please. And as you can see here, there are two different screens depending which button you clicked. If you clicked assign a ticket, you're taken to the screen on the left. You need to provide a first name and last name that matches our records. You will get an error if the name does not match. It will not let you assign the ticket. And you also need to provide a ticket assignment date. The screen for open a VR case, same information as required. First name, last name, and the date you open the VR case. Next slide, please. And from here, I'm going to give it over to Janet for the payment piece.
Well, actually, we did add a couple of more slides in the presentation associated with unassigning a ticket or closing a VR case. So we're on that page now. You can navigate to that list of SSA beneficiaries currently assigned to me by clicking on the List Beneficiaries Currently Assigned to Me link from the main menu. And when you do that, you'll see a list that's presented on the presentation right now. From here, you can locate the name of the beneficiary whose ticket you want to unassign. If you click on the Actions link that corresponds to that beneficiary, then you'll select the Actions tab. Once doing that, the More Actions menu will open up for you, and you'll see some additional options here. To unassign a ticket, you'll select that Unassign or Close This Case, which is the last item on that list. With that selection, if you are an EN, you'll see what's displayed, the screen displayed on the left. You'll enter the ticket unassignment date and indicate who requested the unassignment. And the choices there are either the EN or SVR acting as an EN or the ticket holder. So you'll make your selection there and then click Submit. On the right side, you'll see a screen that would be available if you are VR. Enter the VR case closure date and indicate whether the closure was successful or unsuccessful and simply click Submit. If this transaction, either of these transactions, are successful, the beneficiary will no longer appear on the list of SSA beneficiaries currently assigned to me and will now be on the list of SSA beneficiaries formerly assigned to me. Wow, what a difference, huh? By a couple of clicks of the mouse, a couple of different movements between screens, and you've made it happen instantaneously just like that. Again, this is a real-time system with instant results. So the key thing there is to be sure to verify your transactions before you click that submit button. There is no "Are you sure?" prompt. So it is real time. It will happen immediately. Okay, now let's take a look at the process for requesting payments. As mentioned, that Ticket Portal User Guide, which is available to you on your Secure Resources and Training site, does have a lot of detailed information. It's a very valuable resource for you. We recommend that you download it. And in regards to requesting payments, it is pages 49 through 57 that covers those details. The first thing we want to just clarify for you is when requesting payments, only one claim month can be entered at a time. This is true because each payment request is automatically creating a work case in the Social Security Administration system when you submit that payment request. Again, it's real time. It happens right then. And so we need to make sure that when you're submitting your payment request, you are only submitting one claim month at a time. The other key significant difference here is that the portal only accepts evidentiary payment requests. And you should have seen the notice that as of Friday, July 31st, we actually are no longer accepting certification payment requests or self-employment income forms. Those will be captured as part of the extended e-pay process being implemented. So with the portal, you must submit evidentiary payment requests exclusively. All right, so here we have the main menu once again. And again, the second section on this screen is the payment section. So the first step for requesting a payment by SSN is to click on the Request a Payment by SSN link under that payment section. There is another option for accessing payment requests, and that is by selecting the Actions menu from that list of beneficiaries currently assigned to your EN that we reviewed previously. The More Actions screen provides several options, and requesting a payment is that second to last item on the list of options there. Now, once you submit your payment request, the screen that you'll see next, certainly if you came from the main menu, you have to enter in an SSN. However, if you came from the list of beneficiaries assigned to me, you'll see this menu. The beneficiary's name is displayed at the top, and you're going to be prompted for the claim month that you're requesting the payment for. So again, as a reminder, evidentiary payments only, and you're going to be submitting one claimant at a time because we are creating work cases immediately after you click the submit button. So what's included on the screen here and is in your user guide is a chart as a reminder of the phase one milestone calculations that you'll need to be aware of. And we want to include this here as an example so that you know which claim month you should be referencing when you're submitting a phase one payment request. So for example, if it's a phase one milestone 3, you can see that the earnings criteria for this year is that you must meet the dollar amount for 6 months within a 12-month period. So the claim month that you would be requesting for your phase one milestone 3 would be that 6th month, also known as the attainment month, that qualifies you for that payment. Now, if phase one milestones are not available for the ticket, you won't even see it displayed as an option on this screen. So the next step after entering that claim month is to go ahead and select the type of payment you're requesting and click Submit. Outcomes, phase two, phase one, milestone, etc. Now, at this point, the portal will check to see if there are sufficient earnings in the Social Security Administration records to pay this case. If there are sufficient earnings, you don't need to provide any evidence. In this example, there are not enough earnings. Only evidentiary payment requests are allowed in the portal. Again, I keep repeating that because it is a major change for many of you. And again, if there are not enough earnings in our system to pay the claim, you must submit that evidence that the beneficiary is working at the level required for the payment type you requested in the claim month that you entered. So if you do not have earnings evidence to provide, then just click on the close button to cancel the creation of the payment request. If you do have earnings evidence and need to proceed, then select Yes under the Add Earnings area. Now, a ticket holder earnings box will then display for you. You must complete all fields marked with an asterisk, and you'll have an opportunity to enter up to 25 separate entries if you need to. The other thing to consider is if a pay period overlaps across 2 months, let's say January and February, and you've already entered the earnings for the first month, then you do not need to re-enter them for the following month for your subsequent payment request. Those earnings that were entered in previously are saved in the system and can be referenced by the payment specialist. So on this screen, you must enter in the employer name. The evidence type is a drop-down box to select that type. The pay period start date, pay period end date, the pay date, and the gross amount paid. You will have the option to enter net amount paid as well, but it's not a required field. If you have that information, go ahead and enter it in for us. If you do not, you can proceed. Please use all caps for the employer name and refrain from using any special characters. Once you've completed this, to save the information, click the Save button. And if you don't have all of the information you need, you can click Cancel this entry. Now, once you finish entering the earnings information, you'll receive this table. Review your payment details and make sure it is complete and accurate. When you click on that Submit button, again, you're automatically creating a work case in the Social Security Administration system. You cannot edit it or delete it, and your payment, again, is going to be submitted as you have entered it in. One other reminder, you do have the option of entering up to 25 records. So if you have more earnings to add, go ahead and click Yes again to add earnings and follow the same process to enter all of your records. Now, you'll also notice that there's a checkbox next to Proof of Earnings Will Be Faxed In. This automatically generates a fax cover sheet that will associate your earnings evidence with the payment request you're creating in the portal. Now, if you uncheck this box, this cover sheet will not generate, and you will need to generate an additional cover sheet to attach to the earnings evidence work case that you are creating. So be sure to leave that check in that box. And then once you've completed your entries, go ahead and click Submit. So the next page that you'll see is this one for the fax mail cover sheet. If you did enter earnings on that previous page and manually checked the box or left it as a default, the cover sheet will generate here, and your payment request has been created at this point. It will now show up on the list of pending payments in your status screen. So this cover sheet does have some key information at the top of it. It includes the ticket holder's name, the date the request was created, it has your EN or VR name, as well as the claim month that you're requesting. You must include this one-time cover sheet when faxing or mailing your information for your payment request. There is a number displayed in our screenshot here. It's a blank space there, but there is a fax phone number, and it is different than the number we were using previously. It's a toll-free number, and you do need to fax to that number on the cover sheet. Choosing that download fax mail cover sheet option will allow you to save a copy of the cover sheet, and we do recommend saving the cover sheet until you have successfully completed your transmission of your documents. Now, you can also save this document and append it to your electronic documents and use your eFax solution to send in your payment request cover sheet with the documents required. So that completes the actual payment request process. Pretty straightforward. It's very streamlined. Again, there's instant creation of the work case. And now let's take a look at how you can review the status of your payment request. Again, all of this information is detailed and outlined in the user guide between page 21 and 27. All right, so back to the main menu, under the payment section, there are two options here for you to view status of your payments. The first option is view payments already made to me. Now, this option will include all of the payments that have been completed and are currently closed. This includes both the paid payments as well as denied payment requests. Paid payments will have two statuses that we'll review. And then you're denied, and there's an option there for you to include or exclude your denied payment request. The second option here is to view all pending payments for me. This report is one that will include all of the payments that are still open or still being processed. This will include any payments that have not been sent to the Treasury yet, and any of those that are in diary status where we are waiting for you to send information in. All right, so we'll first take a look at the view payments already made to me. And on this screen, you can search here for payments, again, that are already made to your EN or VR agency for all beneficiaries based on a date. You can also include any denials with the checkbox that's shown on that first screen. It's a little small, but the first screen that you'll see there is prompting you to enter the dates you wish to search and then click on the actual search tab. The start and end dates cannot be more than a year apart. However, you can search for prior years. The results will display as shown here, and you can view them on a spreadsheet if you like by choosing the download entire list to Excel option. Any claims listed on this screen are ones that Operation Support Manager has completed some type of action on. If the status is shown as paid, this means that Operation Support Manager processed this claim and it did clear Treasury already. Denied indicates that the claim was assessed and determined that it was not payable. Allowed status indicates that it was assessed and paid, however, it's not cleared Treasury yet. So you'll see those three statuses here. ENs really should wait the 30 days before contacting Operations Support Manager to investigate any claims that remain in that allowed status. The denial code column that you'll see will list a code number. You can select that denial number link to receive a pop-up window and description of the denial reason to learn more about why the payment was denied. All right, so let's take a look at the second status report, which is the view all pending payments for me. Again, you'll access this from the main menu, and here you'll be able to see all of your organization's pending payments. So these are payments that have not yet been processed. And each payment request you enter is displayed here immediately after it is created. These claims could be outstanding receipts, they've just not been worked yet, or claims that have been placed in diary as mentioned and are waiting information such as the evidence of earnings that you're planning to send in. Maybe there's a renewal of your SAM registration information that's also pending and holding up your payment request. So again, if your case is diarized, you will see a Y in the diary column. Clicking on the actions link to the right of that Y will bring you to another menu where you can see the reason your case is diarized and print an additional fax cover sheet if needed. You can also view this pending payments for an individual beneficiary by going back to the main menu and selecting that list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me link. You would then use the actions link on that page for the individual beneficiary, and this will take you back to that more actions menu that we reviewed previously, where you'll see the option to show pending payments. So, of course, the difference between the view pending payments for me and the show pending payments function is that this one will show all pending payments for your organization, while the other one will only show those pending payments for the one beneficiary that you're selecting. All right, so again, from the pending payments, if you click on the actions link there, it brings you to the pending payment actions menu. There's three key items on this menu that only appear on this pending payments action menu. The fax additional information option, the show fax status, and show diaries. The fax additional information link does allow you to generate an additional fax cover sheet if for some reason you misplaced that original fax cover sheet, or perhaps you need to submit some additional documentation for the payment request that you previously submitted. The show fax status link here will display if you have generated a fax cover sheet using the portal. This allows you to track the status of your faxes. Now, you can't track any faxes that you've sent directly to the operations support manager through this screen. And then the show diaries hyperlink will display if your case is in the diary status and will provide that detailed explanation that I mentioned earlier. So taking a look at the fax additional information, this is a very helpful screen, and you'll find that you'll be using this from time to time, again, if we send you an outreach and ask you to provide some additional documentation or if you misplace that original cover sheet. Once you click on this, you'll see a second screen that asks you to identify the document type that you plan to send in. And once you select that document type, maybe it's a pay stub, then you can go ahead and click submit. Another option on this screen is to add a note. So if you have some additional comments that you want to include, that you want our payment specialist who's going to be managing this case for you to review, you can click yes on add a note, and that note will be visible to the payment specialist. Once you've made your selections, click submit button, and you'll generate another cover page similar to the cover page that was generated for the original payment request. Now, again, the key thing that I want to remind you about faxing is that you ensure that this barcoded fax cover sheet that is generated through the portal is the first page of your fax transmission. You should not be including a business cover sheet when you're transmitting faxes to us. Including that business cover sheet will misroute your fax, and we will not be able to process it. So, again, the fax cover sheet with the barcode does have the details we need, and that barcode has programmatic information that our server needs in order to receive, upload, and associate your documents with the work case that's generated. All right, let's take a closer look at the show fax status option. Now, this one, again, will display if you've generated a fax cover sheet using the portal. Another reminder, if you've sent faxes directly to the operations support manager, you cannot track those through this screen. And when you click on this link to see the status of your fax, it will display the date the fax was originally requested, the name of the person in your organization who requested this fax, the document type that was chosen, and the date the fax was received, if we've received it. Now, if that fax received date is blank, then we've not received the fax yet. So that's your indicator that you need to get that sent to us. An important thing to note is that there is a 9 business day diary period for all faxes that have been created and any diary that is placed on your payment request. So be sure to print and fax those documents in as quickly as possible in order to avoid having that diary expire. Once it does expire, we will be denying the payment request if we've not received the information that's needed. Well, that concludes our review of the payment request and payment status portions of the orientation, and we are ready to accept your questions and see how we might be able to clarify any additional information for you. Shay, if you can open up the lines for us, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to register a question, press *1. Again, that's *1 on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound key. One moment, please, for the first question. There are no audio questions.
Okay, very good. Well, as you guys are thinking about everything that we've shared, we do have a couple of questions from the chat room that we can discuss at this time. Alexa?
Sure. Hello, everybody. The first question comes from Denise. If I wanted to request a payment for several months, should I list the request for the last month, or do I have to submit separate payment requests for each month that I'm seeking at one time?
Good question and good clarification of that claim month option through the payment request process. So let me just try to clarify your question and make sure that I'm understanding the scenario. Again, when I reviewed the table for the phase one milestone criteria, there are multiple months that are required in order to qualify for that. The example I gave was a phase one milestone 3. So in that case, it's a 6-month out of 12-month requirement for trial work level. So you should not be submitting multiple entries for each of those 6 months. The only month that you should be submitting is that 6th month. Now, the other thing to note is, let's say you have a phase one milestone 1, 2, 3, and 4 that you would like to submit. So you've met the phase one milestone 1 criteria and you have that attainment month identified. You've met the phase one milestone 2 criteria. You have that month. So they are legitimately 4 separate payment requests that you want to submit through the portal. Each one of those payment requests must be submitted individually. So again, for phase one milestone 1, maybe your claim month is January of 2014. you would enter that as your claim month. For phase one milestone two, let's say your claim month for that one would be 3 months later, and that would be April of 2014. So April 2014 would be the claim month for that second payment request, and so on down the line. So you certainly can submit multiple payment requests, but you would have to enter each with the individual claim month that qualifies you for that payment request. So I hope that's clear in answering the question.
Great, thank you. One other question is, Katie, if you can help with this one. When checking assignability, the VR closure code is N, if you can just clarify what that means.
Sure. That field indicates whether or not the VR closed the case successfully. A Y is yes, the case was closed successfully, and an N is no.
Perfect. And Katie, those VR case closures are in the updated user guide, correct?
Yes, it is listed. It is described on the page.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So anybody that needs any further assistance or clarification, those codes are now available. Great. Thank you. That's it from the chat for now.
Excellent. Okay, great. Two good questions. Shane, do we have any callers in the phone queue?
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to register for an audio question, press the star followed by the one. Again, that's star followed by one. We'll pause for just a moment. There are no audio questions.
Okay. Very good. Well, Katie, is there anything that you would like to add or clarify?
I just see it in the chat window there. So it's about the VR closure code. So in order to view the status, if the ticket is already assigned to you, you can check the VR closure status by going to the More Actions menu for a particular beneficiary. If you're checking the assignability of a ticket and want to know if the ticket has been closed successfully, that's where you would go from the main menu to check assignability by SSN. And I know we went through the screens a little quickly, but on the bottom section where it tells you the assignment information, on the very right-hand column is called SVR closure status, and that is where you would be able to look up whether a case was closed successfully or unsuccessfully. And like I said, if you have the SSN, you can use the screen to check that there. And if you don't have the SSN but you have a beneficiary name, you can always get to the ticket information for your specific beneficiaries off the More Actions menu next to a beneficiary. I did see on there about a U. We do have some really old cases that we're trying to go through and clean up, and we don't have the proper value. All U need to be updated, and they should be ends at this point, but we are going through and trying to clean up those records. So if you see a U out there, we are working on cleaning that up. That is not an expected value in that field. And Anita, I do see your question about the follow-up processing status, and I believe I have a phone call from you. Is it okay if I call you back after this meeting? Will you type in the window? Okay, I'll give you a call because I can't find your file, and in order to help you, I'm going to have to see your file. So I will give you a personal touch to get that figured out. We do have resources here to help you. Please reach out to any of our help desks, even if you're not sure which help desk to reach out to. If you ever have a problem or a question, we will get you routed to the right person. I do want to make that clear on the call that we are here to help you, and if you just call a number and say, Mayday, Mayday, we'll get you to the right person.
Good point, and thanks for sharing that for sure, Katie. One thing we don't have on this presentation, but again, if you access the Secure Training and Resources site, remember that last screen, and for those of you that may have joined us a little late, from that Secure Training and Resources site, you can see all of the contact information with a matrix describing which team to contact for whatever type of concern or question or help you need. We are partnering together very closely. If you end up calling the wrong place, don't worry. We'll get you to the right place and make sure that you get the help that you need. again, to wrap it up, we want to encourage you to use the resources that are available to you, and starting with the access to the secure training and resources site. Your welcome letter that provided login information had details about how to get to that page, and we did show it earlier on our presentation, but you can always go back to that welcome message and access the self-paced training module where you can see screenshots of these of the tool, and you can go through that exercise and repeat it as often as you like or you need. Join in with some of your coworkers, you know, host a meeting, have lunch, and go through that information. Again, download the user guide, print it out if it would be helpful for you, and reference the tools and information available there if you have coworkers that need to know what steps they need to take to gain access. And certainly if you need support or help, refer to that contact matrix that we have there as well. We are continuing these weekly orientation sessions throughout the month of August. You're welcome to come back and join us next week or in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks, and bring a coworker with you. Okay, one last check, Shay, to see if we have any callers in the queue.
There are no audio questions.
Okay, great. All right, well, thanks, everyone, for joining us. We hope this was just as informative for you, and we look forward to working with you going forward. Have a good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the webinar for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.